We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Welcome to Social Capital, a weekly podcast that dives into social relationships and why the investment you put into them is so important. Your host, Lori Hybu, will connect with industry-leading professionals and dive into their networking experiences and expert advice.
Hey, everybody. Lori Hybu here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybu and on Facebook. This week's guest is Adam Connors. Adam is a sought-after speaker, social architect, podcast host, and super connector who has transformed lives and accelerated careers. He's the founder and CEO of NetworkWise, a business platform that expedites outcomes for people through training in the art and science of personal and professional networking. An entrepreneur at heart, Adam has spent over 20 years starting and building companies across a variety of industries. His sole focus these days is teaching people how to network wise. Adam, welcome to the show.
Hey there, Lori. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Well, I'm excited to have you on this show because one, networking is the name of your game, and two, you've got a podcast. So I think we're going to have so many fun things to talk about.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be a shortage of conversation, Lori.
Let's dive right into it. So where do you feel most people go wrong when it comes to networking?
Lori, it's a great question. And I think at the end of the day, the majority of people just don't understand what networking is. And that's where they go wrong. Because a lot of people feel that it's dirty, or they don't feel comfortable with it, or they don't like doing it. But then when you break down and you explain to them what it really is, you know, we're communal people, we're tribal, and we thrive on relationships and connections. That's what makes us human. And that's what networking is. I mean, you know, to some degree, what I define networking as is a proactive approach to relationship development with the, you know, ultimate goal of, you know, forming a connection. And, you know, where all parties are benefiting. And when people really understand that, they're like, a light bulb goes on. And they're like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. Let's connect with people. Let's find what do we have in common? How can we help each other? How do we get deeper, faster, quicker? And all parties benefit. So, yeah, I think that at the end of the day is the biggest obstacle that most people face. It's just a lack of understanding of what it is.
Yeah, I agree with that a ton. And I love how you said proactive approach to relationship development. Mm. I think that's a really powerful definition of networking. Well done.
I'm glad you got that too, because that's where typically when I'm doing workshops, that's something I will go back to and I will highlight bold, you know, putting quotations. Uh-huh. So it's good. And I shouldn't be surprised that you picked up on that. But, okay, I'm sorry.
All right. Yeah. So you've got a podcast as well. What is it that you look for in your podcast guests?
Yeah. So my podcast, it's called Conversations with Connors, and there's three criteria to being on my show. Number one, it's kind of like the foundation of networking that I know, like, and trust you, with a little caveat, and or admire you, you know, maybe something that you've done or accomplished. That's number one. You know, number two, you're successful. And success is a subjective definition. My subjective definition of success is living a life by design, not by default. So, you know, doing what you want, when you want, where you want it. And then the third criteria is that you can attribute a cornerstone of the success that you have accomplished through the relationships that you've developed. So, you know, that's the criteria to being on the show. It's lent itself to all different kinds of people. Everything from Andrew Yang, who's running for president right now, to, you know, everything from the FBI's hostage, you know, lead hostage negotiator, to venture capitalists, to all different, you know, feminists. I've had some amazing guests, and they all, when you break them all down, they all share the three criteria.
That's awesome. I love that you've got some defined criteria for your podcast guests, and hopefully someone will reach out to you if they're interested and feel they fit that criteria.
So yeah, they do.
How has your podcast benefited you?
Selfishly, I did it for me. I was originally, I just really enjoyed getting to know people and learning about people. So it started off as something that I just wanted to do. As I'm a podcast aficionado, I'm constantly listening to other people's like yourself, really enjoy learning about people. But it's turned out that this thing is really, really trendy thing to be doing. And you get enough listeners, it really benefits your business. In terms of direct cash flow to my business, I don't know if that's necessarily been the case, at least yet, but it's opened a lot of doors. I've met some very interesting people. It becomes a very interesting topic at, you know, cocktail parties or whenever you're meeting people, when they find out that you have a show, as I'm sure you can appreciate, mm-hmm. that people are interested in learning about, you know, just this medium in general. What's it like? You know, how do you get your guests? You know, what are your questions? What, you know, a lot of just the same questions that I'm sure that you have for me is other people's same, you know, they're sharing that same interest. So, so it's just fun. It's a lot of fun.
Fantastic. And how much time goes into your podcast?
A significant amount, a ridiculous, probably more than I didn't realize what I was getting into. We documented. Yeah. I just have the utmost respect for other people to do this. I mean, it's, you know, I got to tell you, I really like the system that you've laid out, because you do, you have a nice process. Mm-hmm. And that's something that when we're off the air, I'm going to pick your brain on, because I think that you've eliminated a significant amount of manual time through yours. But to answer your question, I haven't quantified it yet, but we have documented the amount of steps, and it's 42 different steps. Ooh. That we take from, you know, from the connection to the, from the person to scheduling, you know, questions. We do a lot of graphics with ours for our guests. And I have a social media team that essentially serves as like a PR team for our guests. It's kind of like a thank you for coming on our show. Mm-hmm. So probably more steps than most. We've got some really good feedback, so I'll continue to do it.
Awesome. Well, I'm happy to share any insights that you want to pick my brain on. So
I do.
All right.
I definitely do.
So, Adam, obviously networking is what the focus of my show is, and your show as well. One of the things that I really like to do, and my goal is to help alleviate some of this fear that people have with networking. So can you share with our listeners your most successful or favorite networking story that you've had?
You know, that's an extremely difficult question. And I bet if I ask you the same thing, I bet you don't have one in particular. Is it okay for me to just give one that, you know, that transpired this weekend? Would that suffice?
Sure, go for it. If it's top of mind, let's hear it.
Yeah, it's top of mind, and I do think it's pretty good. Really interesting. I'm going to take this back over 20 years with my friend Ernie, who I met over 20 years ago. I used to be in recruiting, and Ernie was a client of mine at Goldman Sachs. Rather than just this client-vendor relationship, we both recognized that, you know, we each brought more to the table than just that client-vendor relationship. So we invested, you know, that little bit of extra time, you know, to get to know each other, whether it was lunches, you know, a couple extra minutes on the phone when we were done talking about business, or maybe before business. And we became fast friends. You know, we both had left our respective fields, also had kids along the way at different ages. So we were both in very different stages of life. He also moved to Florida, but that never stopped us from staying in touch. You know, we both share a few friends in kind, sports teams in kind. So either of us could just randomly give each other a call, you know, send a text, essentially just to let the other person know that we're thinking of them. And once you've established a pretty significant relationship with someone, you know, that's all you need to do to kind of keep it going. Mm-hmm. So let me now tell you a bit about my friend Hugo. So he's a quality guy that I've been playing basketball with for the past few years. And in between games, we've gotten to know each other a bit. We've recognized, again, a lot of the same admirable attributes in each other. And we've taken our relationship off the court. We both value the importance of true relationships. And, you know, we just have made it a point to periodically touch base to see what each other is up to. And, you know, if there's anything that we could ever do for each other, you know, we really will both make a point to just do that. That will be the essence of the call. And, it turns out, Hugo's introduced me to some interesting people. I've actually had him on my podcast. Hugo King is his name. He's a fascinating guy. He's invited me to play basketball in where he plays. I've invited him to play with me and introduced him to some interesting people. So he's gotten me some my family tickets to Broadway shows, and he's just been a true friend and confidant. And recently, I was actually at a wedding of his, which actually should have been on TV. It was so spectacular. You mm-hmm. still with me, by the way? I'm going to bring this together.
So Oh, yeah.
You following me? Okay. All right, good. So let me tell you how this comes together. So I'm in a conversation with Hugo the other day, and he tells me that he has a friend that he's trying to do something nice for, which is essentially what this guy does all the time anyway. But he's telling me he's trying to get him tickets to the US Open. And that's here in New York, and it's really late. And he's had for some reason, he's having a hard time to get decent tickets. They're easy to come by because it is a spectacular event. Then I remember my buddy Ernie, who I just told you about before, he has a relationship with the U.S. Tennis Organization. So without even asking Hugo, I give Ernie a call. I say, not only does Ernie come through with the tickets, but he gets tickets for the semifinals. To boot, he does all this while he's living in Florida, which, as you are familiar, we're dealing with this whole Dorian hurricane issue.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
As well as, he's helping another friend who actually lost their home in some kind of freak accident the week before, was uprooted, and they had a newborn. So all this thing's going on, and he still came through, took the time to make a couple calls, that aren't easy because it's just this time of year. And I mean, you want to just talk about an ecosystem of good people looking to help each other out, then look no further. So the beauty of all this, though, by the way, is that he doesn't know, they don't know each other, but they both get it, and they recognize the value of relationships. Just to take a couple minutes out of each other's day to do something nice for somebody else without expecting anything in return. So here's the kicker. And I don't know when this show is going to come out, and I hope this doesn't ruin anything, but Hugo is already working on doing something extra special for Ernie. So stay tuned to see where this thing goes.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, it'll probably be a few weeks. So hopefully it's time right. The right way. that's a great story. I mean, that really is. I think it shows what I like is you've got kind of a really long-term relationship and then a newer one. It's not that new. You said a couple of years you've been friends with Hugo, but man, way to be the connector and the middleman. I think that's fascinating. To create some wins for different people and with no expectation for anything in return from any party.
None. And listen, truthfully, I call it selfish benevolence. it makes me happy to see good things happening with good people. And if I can be a part of that, then wow, fantastic. So it's really all about me. I'm truly selfish.
So how do you stay in front of or nurture your network, your community, these relationships that you're creating?
Yeah, that's a you open Pandora's box with that question. I would, I'm sure you know that. So I think it really all starts with active listening. When I get to know people, I try to skip over the superficial stuff, the conversation, and kind of dig in to, kind of who they are and what fires them up, and learn about their, quote unquote, hot points or triggers. It might be another word that people are familiar with, essentially the emotions that fire them up, because emotion drives motion. So once I get to know these things about people, I make a point, I write them down. And then I meditate on them, or I reflect on them, is a better way of putting it. And I try to think about the value that I could add to something that they're passionate about, or just something that they are emotional about it. And I reflect on this daily, weekly, quarterly. I mean, I reflect on this stuff all the time. And anytime that there is an opportunity where I might be able to add, or benefit them, I'll reach out. And then I also just periodically reach out, whether it's birthdays are the easy ones, but I try to think of other things, other dates that are a little more important, whether they bought a house, had a kid, things of that nature. So essentially I just look for anything for people that, I feel are worthy of kind of making my community, if you will, and doing anything that I can to nurture them. I tell people that, you know, if I, you know, once if I like you, you're stuck with me. So I'm like that crazy stalker person.
Yeah, I think that's really good. I wrote down and I underlined emotion drives motion. I think that's a really powerful statement that you said. And I like that you actually intentionally put time into thinking about how you can help nurture that relationship.
Yeah, that's that didn't come natural. You know, that's I'm sure I read that somewhere, or, you know, nothing I do is my own, you know, or maybe I heard it on a podcast, who knows, but it's just something that I've been doing for you. Actually, I guess I didn't hear it on a podcast. I've been doing it for years, but, you know, as soon as I implemented that into some of my habits, I'll tell you, you know, some of my relationships have been taken to new levels.
That's awesome. I think that's great advice to share. And speaking of advice, what would you tell that business professional who's looking to grow their network?
Know their why. You know, why are they doing this? You know, their intent needs to be genuine. You know, otherwise it will feel dirty, it'll look dirty, and it won't generate the kind of results that they might desire. That kind of gets back to, you know, almost your first question about, you know, about what networking. You got to see it through the right lens. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, when you understand what that networking is about, connecting, adding value, expecting nothing in return, you know, huge dividends will be paid. You know, then you've got to wash, rinse, repeat. And on top of that, you got to trust the process. There are no magic bullets. You know, just try to add as much value to other people's lives as possible and play the long game. The cream always rises to the top. You know, it might take a lot longer than you anticipate, but I can assure you that it will. There was a gentleman who was on my show. His name is Brandon Steiner. I don't know if you've heard of him. He owns Steiner Sports. His story is just awesome. Came from nothing, built the largest, you know, sports memorabilia collection probably in the world. He's a guy who bought Yankee Stadium and then sold it. And his story is just awesome. He's great to listen to. And he had, I had asked him, you know, almost the same question, you know, that you just asked me. And, mm-hmm. and his response was, Adam, you need to do as much as you can, as often as you can, for as many people as you can, and expect nothing in return. And it's worked out pretty well for him. So not bad advice.
Yeah. Wow. That's lots of good little nuggets there. I love the wash, rinse, and repeat, because that's so important, is the repetition. I mean, you can't just do something once and then leave an impression. I mean, unless it's extremely powerful. Trusting the process is really important too.
Yeah. Well, so here's the deal. People think that they control their success, and they don't. You know, you do not control your success. You control your habits, and your habits dictate your success. So that is the process. So wash, rinse, repeat, and then trust that. Just keep doing it. Most people will let you down, but all you need is one, maybe out of every 10 people, you know, that will give you the thank you, or potentially, you know, give you the random phone call, or give you the business lead. Mm-hmm. And then it just, and again, it almost, no pun intended, but it washes away any type of ill will that you might think of other people, because it does happen. You know, I'm not saying that, you know, it's that easy, but it's practice.
Absolutely. So we've covered a lot of networking from just a really broad state, nothing really tactical as far as attending an event or reaching out to people online. But I'm always curious with my guests, digital networking or traditional networking, which one do you find more value in?
Oh, it's a no-brainer. I mean, traditional in-person relationship building is the standard. You know, they say gold standard, I say platinum. You know, that said, the world is rapidly changing. It's moving faster and faster, you know, and technology has created more options and ways to communicate. Mm-hmm. You know, in other words, you know, you need to connect and build relationships the old fashioned way, but at the same time, you should take advantage of the technology and the tools that are out there, the LinkedIns of the world, you know, some of these video, you know, whether it's FaceTime, I don't have an iPhone, but you know, I see people doing that. Mm-hmm. Or Zoom Info, you know, this increases your touch points. You can also be more creative. It also afford, you know, the technology also affords you the ability to work on your own time. There was a guy, I don't remember who it was, but I actually heard it on your show, I believe. And he mentioned something about like, you don't get married through technology, or I forgot how he worded it, but it was just that point drove home. It really drove home the point to me. So to answer your question, no question about, you know, traditional in-person relationships and, you know, utilize the technology as a tool, kind of arrows in your quiver.
Sure. That makes sense. I think it's well stated how you position that. All right. Here's a fun one for you, Adam. If you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
Again, Pandora's box. Truth be told, not that much. What I'm doing today is exactly what I should be doing. You know, maybe I would have done it a little earlier, but I'm not sure, because it's, you know, being here today is the culmination, you know, of meeting amazing people, working in numerous industries. I've worked in a bunch. I've built a bunch of businesses, and I've been exposed to some of the most interesting and successful people in the world. And it's given me just this fantastic perspective. I guess if you kind of pin me in a corner and ask me if there was anything different, I'd probably cut toxic people out of my life quicker. There was some kind of statistic. It's like 5% of the negative people in your life are responsible for 95% of the bad things that happen to you. So, you know, I guess maybe similar to the hiring method. I don't know if you've heard of this, you know, slow to hire, quick to fire.
Oh yeah.
Well, the same thing with relationships, you know, slow to, you know, to get them into that inner circle of yours. But, you know, the second that they do something that's not right, you know, cut them quickly. And that's something that I actually preach to people. I do an audit with my relationships twice a year. And I've kind of created a tool that I recommend that people do, and they go through this as well. It's pretty simple. I mean, it's just, you know, really think about the energy that you get or are depleted of around certain people. And, you know, I'm not going to bore you with all the particulars, but that's essentially the high level of it.
Really intrigued by that. I mean, I've not heard of that. But why not? Why wouldn't you kind of check? So let's talk about that a little bit more. Don't just throw it to the corner. This is interesting.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm happy I can even share it with you if you so desire. But no, I mean, listen, just think about it. Think about the people that you come across. And I know that you're a giver just by hearing your listening to your podcast. So think about how much you give to people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's I don't know if you ever read Adam Grant's book, Give and Take. It's a fantastic book. It identifies the different types of people. Oh, I think you'd really enjoy it. There's givers, there's takers, and there's matchers. But these people, you know, getting back to like what networking is and isn't, you know, networking is not being the slimy salesperson handing out business cards all the time, or being the pusher. It's not being the social media spammer, you know, the person that just sends you an invite. You have no idea who they are. For that matter, they don't even personalize it or say why they're reaching out. And then the third thing that it's not, and what a lot of people don't understand, is it's not being the person that just calls and reaches only when they want something, and they're constantly asking for things and they don't give. I call that person an asshole. And it's those assholes that you want to, you know, those are the people that you want to eliminate from your, you know, from your spheres of influence. You need to, because they're going to be the drains. So, you know, when you're trying to benefit, you know, yourself and those around you, you need to take away from the depleters that are out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely makes sense. You know.
Cool. Yeah. So, you know, again, the audit is, you know, to answer, you know, your question, and like, again, if you'd like, I'm happy to kind of send this over to you.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah, you know, you just go through, there's a couple columns. I created it in like a spreadsheet, and you try to think about how many times you were in contact. You think about, you know, what did they do for you? Do you want to spend time with them? You know, what was it like spending time with them? And, you know, again, getting back to the energy that you feel, because it's like Maya Angelou said, it's not what people say, it's how they make you feel. Mm-hmm. And if they're not making you feel good and you're leaving with positive energy, then I would suggest cutting them from your life.
Yeah.
It's too short.
I think that's fantastic. And hopefully I can Can I share that with all of our listeners, include that in the show notes then too?
Let's talk. It's usually something that I charge for.
Okay.
We could talk about it offline.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. But maybe, you know, now that I'm on the spot, I probably kind of got it.
I can erase that from the interview too.
No. We'll talk about it. We'll see.
Okay. All right, Adam. So I'm going to throw the microphone over to you right now and give you the chance to interview me. So what is something that you would like?
This is fun. Well, I'd love to keep you on this phone for like an hour, but I know that you're under the gun a little bit with time. So I would love to get your perspective on some of the questions that you asked me when we came out of the gate.
Okay.
Like, you know, what do you feel that most people go wrong, you know, when it comes to networking?
I love that question. I think it's a fantastic one. And I'm going to probably second a lot of what you said, is that people don't quite understand what networking is. And they just have this negative thought associated with it. And I think that people need to be intentional about their actions. And that's something that I hear a lot of my guests saying, and those that are doing it successfully are indeed intentional, and they're taking the time to think and listen about, you know, what are their goals and objectives, what are they trying to do, and listening to the person instead of just trying to push information in front of that ideal individual.
Yeah, that's well said. Well put. What about, if we could switch over to the podcast, and I'd love to know what you look for, you know, in your podcast guests. You've had a variety of, and some really interesting people that have some excellent pearls of wisdom.
Yeah. So I'm not super duper picky, but I do look for individuals that have a level of professional work experience or more in an executive role within their organization. And those that are successful are usually going to be successful because of some established relationship one way or another. So they've got a great story to tell. And they do understand the benefit and value of networking. I'm also interested in different perspectives and backgrounds, because I think everyone's got a different story to tell, but more so expanding on the topic of networking. I've actually made a lot of connections through people that have listened to the show and said, hey, I'm interested in, you know, I've connected with this guest of yours. I just think that's great to tell people some of the resources that are available that they may not have thought of. So I think unique guests are more interesting than your, you know, everyone's doing marketing like me.
That's funny. And then, has the podcast been has this benefited you personally, or at least the business itself? Because this is a time, it is a significant time.
It is a significant time investment. And I would say yes to
better
both.
Wording.
I
mean, good job.
I jumped in not totally knowing what I was getting into, as I would imagine most people do when they're trying something for the first time around. And my initial thought was, as a leader today, you need to have some sort of thought leadership, and me and video just totally don't get along very well. So you want to talk about time investment, I would be redoing shoots, you know, over and over and over again, where audio is way more free form and definitely just resonates with my style. I like blogging, but that's a huge time investment, and I'm too nitpicky about, you know, the content that I'm publishing. So this just seemed to be the right medium for me. And it really kind of exploded in the sense that I got to meet amazing people. That was one of the benefits that I was not anticipating, is that, you know, we have a great conversation and then someone says, hey, you should interview this person. And I get to meet a really cool person that I never would have thought I would have gotten the opportunity to have a conversation with. Sounds like you've met some amazing people through your podcast as well. And for the business, yes, we've definitely generated some business opportunities from the guests that we've interviewed and some of the listeners as well. I mean, I've it's cool to go to a local networking event in Milwaukee and people are going, oh, you're Lori from Social Capital. And I have no idea who they are. I just think that's awesome.
That's so. It. Gives you new appreciation for the famous.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, good question. Thanks.
Yeah. And then how much time goes into your podcast?
Well, we have mapped out some processes, and I do have a team that is supporting. I don't have the exact number of how many steps we have. I'm thinking it's very similar to what you're doing. But I can just talk real quickly about, so my inviting guests on the show or getting a guest scheduled up to the time right now where you and I are conversing, that is pretty much automated.
That's fantastic. That's what I'm talking about. You've eliminated a lot of steps.
Oh yeah. I mean, there is a time investment to get that set up, but my goodness, it has definitely alleviated a lot of stresses. And post show, we've got a really kind of precise process that once I hand it off to my team, they've got a checklist and we try to automate and kind of, you know, it's a rinse and repeat process really to get the show edited, show notes published, and create some visuals that are shared on social media, and then do some nurturing of the guests that we have on the show as well. So it is a significant time investment, I would imagine, with my time and the team's time executing. I bet it's about 2.5 to 3 hours. I bet it's about 3 hours per show.
That's actually pretty good. That's saving all those steps in the beginning has really shaved down a lot of time for you. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Cool. Fun questions. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. So Adam, any final word or advice off our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
You know, start. they say the old Buddhist term is that, you know, the best time to have started something is 20 years ago, and the second best time to start is today. I think the listener should understand that this is a learned skill set that takes practice and time to become a habit, which is, you know, what we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. But once you understand and make this a practice, turn this into a habit, it's like riding a bike because it will become natural. So it's not like, you know, running a marathon where you can run it and then it's completed. And then if you don't keep it up, you're not going to be able to run that marathon again. Once you get this ingrained, this type of thinking and this practice, which really only takes 30 to 60 days of something, if you commit to it the right way, like the way that I teach people, and it's a habit. And then so many amazing things will just start showing up in your lives. You can take that to the bank.
I think that's great. And there's so much truth to that. It takes time and practice like anything else. You can't just wake up and be a golf pro. I mean, it takes time for sure.
Yeah, but when you expand your network, you expand your opportunities. And that's in all facets of life, whether it's dating to getting a job or building a business or getting podcast guests. all the ancillary benefits.
Yeah, there's so much truth there on so many different levels, and your opportunities and your resources to continue to be a valuable resource to other individuals as well, I would say.
Yeah, great point. Great point, actually. Thank you for that.
All right, Adam, if anyone was interested in getting in contact with you, what is the best way that they can reach you?
Smoke signals is always the easiest. But besides that, you can catch me at networkwise.com. Yeah, that's the website. There's a bunch of ways you can get through me through there, but I figure that's probably just the easiest. Go to the website, networkwise.com, all one word, and find us. Hope you do. Mention, if you do reach out to me, please mention that you heard me through Lori.
All right. We will include all of that information in our show notes. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Adam.
It's been a lot of fun. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Adam Connors for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to see who will be on the show next. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next episode.